Hey guys, welcome back to Witchcast. My name is Julia. I am the host. And today we have Brittany back from Witch in Kitchen. And I know you guys want to make jokes, but Brittany bitch is back, guys. That's all I can say.
It's Brittany bitch. Hey guys.
Perfect. Okay, so we're going to be talking about some juicy ass topics in this episode, guys. It's going to be Ouija boards, scary stories to tell in the dark. It's gonna be the works, okay? Basically, it's Halloween in an episode. So prepare yourself, get some popcorn, and hide under your blankets because shit's about to get real.
Grab your flashlights too. Don't forget.
Ooh, flashlights, even better. Ooh, or do you remember those glow sticks? Yes. Get those glow sticks.
Those
oh my god.
Thick ones that you could impale someone with. Yeah, I remember those.
Yeah, those are so awesome. And, like, they have the different colors in the neon ones, too. You remember those?
Yes.
Okay, we're getting on a tangent. Okay. We're deviating from the topic. Okay. So, before we talk about all the juicy-as-fuck topics, we're going to be pulling a tarot card of the day, and then we'll see what's going on. We'll talk about it.
Sounds good. I hope it's a juicy one, like our topic.
It's going to be juicy, and it is. It's the Four of Cups, and it's going to be up. I know, it's upright. It's going to be so cool. I love this card. So this card is, the way I look at it, it's basically someone is about to receive a gift, but they're basically cock-blocked.
The cock-block card.
Cock-block card. She's like the person in the picture. She's just like, damn it, I was so close to getting an awesome gift, and then I got cock blocked. It's not gonna happen.
When that dick appointment doesn't text back.
Exactly. Yes, when she doesn't get that D though.
Or when you get that D and it's not as good as you expect. That is also the same sentiment that the Four of Cups has for me anyway.
Yes, it's a disappointment, but so this card, seriously though, it's a card where it depicts this lady, or it could be a gentleman, who's about to receive an unknown gift from some suitor. And on their way to be being delivered the gift, they somehow got misinterpreted, and now it's basically gone to the shit.
Yeah.
So a key word that you guys should pull from this card is, I feel like, sentiment, or like, let's see.
Expectations.
Expectations is very good. That could be it too. So definitely when you get this card, kind of just like, be wary of what is about to come to you, because a gift can be brought to you in any form, right?
Oh yeah.
So just kind of have your eyes open and your toes, right? It keeps you on your toes, so kind of just like get ready for it. But we're going to be talking about Ouija boards and ghost stories today, and I feel like it's Halloween in July. No, June. Damn.
June.
Where am I? We're in June gloom. Okay, so it's June. It's October in June gloom weather. So we're going to be talking about first why you should and shouldn't use a Ouija board. Okay, so if you guys don't know what a Ouija board is, it's basically, you can get this at, I remember I got it at Toys R Us when Toys R Us was a thing.
R.I.P. Toys R Us.
I know. R.I.P. for Toys R Us, seriously. But I used to get it from Toys R Us, or you can get it at like Walmart, Target. They have Ouija boards, and basically it's like this huge board that has the entire alphabet, all numbers 1 through 10. Is it 1 through 10?
1 through, I thought it was like 0 to 9.
Zero, it's either 1 to 10 or 0 to 9. One of those.
I honestly haven't looked at my Ouija board in so long. I feel like a total phony.
Yeah, we're fake. All right. So basically it has the entire alphabet, some numbers, a yes or a no or a maybe. And it's a way where you can talk to the spirits of the underworld, or the spirits on this plane if they haven't gone to the underworld yet.
Don't forget, the most ominous of all the options is goodbye.
Ooh, that's fair. They have the goodbye sentence,
too. They have
too.
Hello and goodbye. I don't like goodbye, because that can be really creepy.
Goodbye could be disastrous, yes. So it comes with, like, this triangular shape kind of paddle, if you want to call
it. It's called a planchet.
Ooh, planchet. That sounds fancy. Okay, so we got to use that. And you basically have like a, you can either do this by yourself or like in a group setting. And then you guys put your fingers on the planchette and then you guys kind of just like ask a question. And then you kind of just see where the little planchette leads you to. So it can go anywhere from like spelling out letters to spelling out, you know, like picking a number. It's very, like it's really creepy in a way, but if you're really looking to speak to someone in the spirit realm, it's actually a very good tool to use it if you know how to use it correctly. Because if you're just fucking around and you think it's gonna be fun to play with a spirit board or a Ouija board,
that's just a spirit communication 101. Don't fuck around.
Yeah, Just don't do it if you don't know what you're doing, because I did that when I was younger, and believe me, it changed my life completely, okay? It's definitely something that you need to have kind of like adult supervision. You need a witch's supervision.
Yes. They should put that on the box.
For adults 25 and above with witch's supervision, please. Yes. That's so funny. I actually saw this deal where if you buy a Ouija board, you get a free thing of cookie dough. And I was like, who's going to make cookies and use a Ouija board?
That's kind of...
Well, okay, you're weird. No, I'm just kidding.
I know but, that. I'll bake with one hand, or like I'll put the cookie dough out on the tray with one hand, and then I'll put my like fingers on the planchette with the other hand.
Okay, I'll be there right with you. No worries.
But multitasking.
Multitasking. That's perfect. But with Ouija boards, guys, seriously, if you don't know exactly how to use it, I definitely recommend doing a lot of research first. Or if you have someone that's like witchy or very into paranormal stuff, you can ask them. Or you can even go to a metaphysical store and ask people how to use it, because they're going to tell you. They're going to be like, look, you got to be very cautious. And I think that whenever you use a Ouija board, you definitely need to have a casting circle or some kind of like circle of salt, a circle of either crystals with salt. It definitely needs to have a white light protection.
Or you know, you can always project an energy field through your crown chakra and third eye. The ground first, you know, center yourself. But then you can also project that energy field out. And if you're practiced enough in it, it's just as, if not more effective than the salt and crystals.
That's fair.
Juicy, that's true.
Yeah, that's pretty juicy. I like that. That's a really good idea. But like I said, guys, if you can't do that yet, if you're still unpracticed, I definitely recommend using salt if you don't have crystals first. If you have crystals, great. Choose some that you feel that will protect you. Quartz is really good for protection. Obsidian, smoky quartz you can use. Some angel light. You can use a lot of different crystals, really. It just depends on what you're feeling for that moment. I recommend just like using your intuition and choosing crystals that you feel is right. So,
but a good go-to for any protection is black or white.
Ooh, crystal. That's fair.
So, you know, any clear white or black or even just a dark colored crystal will also do just fine.
Yes.
And in some cultures, red is also a protective color. So like if you practice hoodoo or voodoo, or if you use any sort of, Latino folk magic like Santeria or any Italian folk magic like yours truly, red is a very protective color as well. So
I love that. That's, you learn something new every day. I just learned that. That's awesome. So so I feel like with Ouija boards, you definitely need to start off with protection, And then once you enter into the whole, I wouldn't really call it a game because it's not a game to me. It you're dealing with spirits. I don't think that's very game-like. But
you have to be respectful because they, yes. Especially if you're communicating with ancestors or people that you knew who passed away, that's another tip. Don't talk to strangers, okay? Especially
yes.
in the spirit world, don't talk to strangers. You need to make sure that you know who you're talking to, whatever
it's like.
Do.
It's like talking to random people on the internet. You guys got to make sure you're talking to people that you know. Because once you start opening that portal, they're all going to come out and be like, ooh, pick me, pick me, pick me.
It's like and then, it's like Omegle for spirit communication. Like, just yes. don't have it open. Is that even yes. a thing anymore, Omegle? Do you remember that?
Yes, I totally remember that. But yeah. Like we're saying, though, you seriously need to be very cautious on who you're asking the question to. Like Brittany said, I would definitely recommend asking either a past loved one or an ancestor or someone that you know specifically you want to talk to. You always want to have someone specific. Never have just an open question to just someone that's random. Because when you figure out that I'm getting chills talking about this. When you
that'll attract energy vampires real quick, and also just any lower vibrational being that wants to just suck the life and happiness out of you, like for real.
Yeah, it sounds like it's basically a Dementor from Harry Potter.
Exactly.
Honestly,
they might as well be.
Yeah, it might as well be. But, like, seriously, guys, you really need to be very cautious on who you're asking the question to. And, you know, once you begin and start having that person in mind, it goes pretty quickly. The whole thing moves, like the planchette moves for you without even you realizing it moving, because the energy from the spirit is actually projecting through you and moving the thing for you to give you your answer. So
one more thing to add, whenever you reach out to someone that you're specifically wanting to talk to, make sure that you have some sort of piece of information that you can confirm that it's them, because mm-hmm. those energy vampires that I mentioned, they will pretend to be your great Aunt Susie if you're not careful and you don't have something specific that only great Aunt Susie would know.
Ooh, that's fair. That's actually a really good point. You need to have that. And also, too, if you have that person in mind, make sure you get their permission, too. Like, that's why they have the yes or no, you mm-hmm. know? So just be like, Aunt Susie, can we talk to you? If it says yes, then great. If it says no, then you have to respect that and don't go forward with it, because there's nothing worse than an angry spirit that's going to try to kick your ass later.
True. And you don't want Great Aunt Susie kicking your ass. But the good news is that 99.99999% of the time, they're open to talk to you. If
yes.
it's someone that you know and loved and trusted in this life, you can do the same with them in the next life. So.
Yes, absolutely. So like we're saying, guys, with Ouija boards, I feel like first you need to have the intent to speak to somebody that is going to be very respectful. You guys got to, you know, figure out what the question is and have that salt circle or that white light that Brittany was talking about. You need to have that. And you also need to definitely have a closing circle.
Yes.
So what a closing circle is once you've completed talking to the spirit that you want to talk to and you're kind of just done with the whole thing, you need to make sure you close it, because you're literally closing a portal. If you leave it open, it's just going to be bad news. You're going to get lots of different spirits that are just going to come out, because it's basically like a beacon of light saying, hey, I can just, you know, go through this portal and then just escape, right? So
it's literally like turning yourself into a lighthouse. All these
yes.
ships will come to moor and they will come to your house and you won't like it. I mean, some people do. I kind of do, but don't be me. Don't just invite random strangers into your house, okay?
No.
Otherwise.
Yes. So just be careful when you're casting the circle of goodbye. Just make sure you respectfully say something of the lines of, thank you for communicating with me, but now it's time to say goodbye and I'm going to close this portal respectively, and then kind of just imagine that white light protecting you still, and then just imagine a door closing, and then you should be solid. But, like, you can always do other precautions, because I like to keep the Ouija board, if I have one, in a circle of salt so that nothing can escape.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's like an added layer of protection, so that way if I'm playing with – not playing. I should stop saying that. If you're interacting with the spirit world – you need to have protection in form of salt. I like to use either white salt, Himalayan, or black salt. You can do a mixture of all three if you want to. And then keep the board in a circle, so that way the spirits can't escape even if they want to. So you definitely have all those layers, like I said, to kind of just like help you stay safe. Because I made a mistake of not closing the circle, and I have spirits following me all the time. So,
and then you gotta cleanse your house, and then you gotta ask them to leave, and it's a whole big thing. Just do it right the first time, and you won't have to clean up any spiritual messes. You won't have to call the Ghostbusters.
You won't have to call Ghostbusters, and you certainly, like, cleaning up is a bitch, dude. You have to, like, sage your entire house. You gotta salt your entire house. You gotta, like, do, like, some banishing spells and rituals, and it's just, like, it's a freaking nightmare, honestly. Like, if you're gonna be using a Ouija board, just make sure you have all the right precautions and the right things to complete it. Yes. That's all I'm asking for you guys to do. If you guys do decide to use and work with the Ouija board, please just use precaution and just really be smart about it.
And don't feel peer pressured into using a Ouija board either, okay? That nervous negative energy that you have will just automatically attract those, like, low vibe suckers, okay? Don't use it if you don't want to.
Yes, absolutely. Don't feel peer pressured by other people to make you, like, if they want to just have a good time, they're going to pressure you, be like, oh, let's use a Ouija board and have fun.
Do not have them in your life.
Yes, run for the hills, for sure. So, I say, you know, honestly, it could be, I'm, like, really partial to using a Ouija board, honestly. But it is a really good tool to speak to the underworld or spirits, because if you don't know how to use tarot cards just quite yet, it could be an easier way to speak to spirits. But you just have to be very cautious, because even with tarot cards, you have to be cautious too. Like whenever I pull a tarot card of the day for the episodes, I definitely make sure I have, you know, that white light protection, that casting circle that I imagine. And I pull the card, or else, you know, like, you can invite all kinds of things, and the answers could vary from different people that are trying to give you answers. So just be careful. Okay. So Brittany, yes. Let's talk about scary stories.
Caution is key.
Yes. Caution is key.
Story time.
Scary stories. Yes. Okay. Do you want to go first? Or do you want me go first?
Oh my god, my dumbass. I was about to suggest rock, paper, scissors, and I'm like, wait, how
would
that even work?
I like how I'm the host of this podcast, and I'm like, who wants to go first? Yeah, no, okay. Brittany, go first.
Okay. All right. Okay, so this first story is actually not mine, but my mother's. Ooh. My dear little old Southern Baptist mother who doesn't like ghosts, but she sees them.
Okay.
So, yes. This experience was actually in Tampa, Florida, where she grew up. She was visiting her grandparents' house, my great-grandparents, and they lived across the street from this big orange orchard. So, or orange grove. Wow. Real Floridian. I forgot the term for orange. Jeez. Okay. So in this property where the orange grove was, there was this big, beautiful, immaculate old Victorian style house that my mom just loved. And if I was alive then, I would have probably also loved it. But it's since been torn down. But she used to get this weird vibe from this house. Anytime that she would go across the street to the neighbors, because they would let her pick a handful of oranges. They'd just be like, yeah, sure, just, like, go on one of the trees. Like, don't take too much, but, you know, you can take a few. So she went and was, you know, looking for oranges to pick, and she sees the house. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to go look in the windows and see what's up. And as she approaches the house, she sees a woman in black in the top story. Like, in the top, like, story window, there's, like, a balcony. Like, she, how the way she described it was there was a balcony in the front on both floors, and then there was a window off to the side of the balcony, and there was a woman in black in the balcony window.
Okay.
To the side.
Was this house abandoned, or did someone live there?
It was abandoned.
Okay, so that's great.
Well, and, you know, she had heard, like, local stories about it, but you know how local townies can be, especially because at the time Tampa wasn't as big of a city as it is now. So this was back in the 70s, so showing my mom's age, sorry mom, but but she just tried to ignore it, and she was just like, well, I'm gonna just look through the living room windows now. So she goes around to the side, la-di-da, to the living room windows, and the furniture is on the ceiling.
Okay.
Just on the, like, the tables were upside down on the ceiling. Chairs were upside down on the ceiling. There was a piano that was on the ceiling. And she just booked it. Just ran home, ran to my great-grandparents' house. And she was just like, Grandma, Grandma, like, there's a lady in the house and the furniture's upside down. And she was just like, oh, you're being silly. You're being silly. Like, my great-grandma, she just, you know, she didn't give way to any of that. But later on, she did admit to my mom, like, when my mom was a full-blown adult, that that house was super spooky, and she was just trying not to scare her. But everybody in town knew that that house was super haunted. Like, just from what I think, it's probably a poltergeist up in there.
Jesus.
But it was, well, just, I mean, furniture upside down, like, that's a, you gotta, it's gotta really be possessed by something super strong.
Yeah. Gonna.
So, she never went up to the house again, ever. But that was one of her favorite ghost stories to tell whenever I was little. So, that's a favorite of mine.
Damn. Upside down furniture and a woman in black. Okay.
And my mom, she does not exaggerate. She's a very, like, straight, she's a Capricorn. She's a very straight-laced, straightforward person. She does not go into, like, the supernatural or the spooky stuff. She hates all of that, but she'll see it. Like, she denies her gifts all the time.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, let's see if I can, let's see if I can work my way up to having upside-down furniture and a woman in black. Okay.
Good luck.
Bring it, bitch. Okay.
Beat that.
Guys, if you haven't noticed, we have a lot of fun talking, so
sorry.
Just take it with a grain of salt, but our stories are legit, okay? Okay.
So. Yes, these are legit stories.
These are legit stories. Okay. So this next story, coming from yours truly, also is a very famous one in my family with my mother. They lived in Idaho when they first moved there from Vietnam, and actually the house that they lived in was given to them by like the charity group that sponsored them. So they didn't have to pay for it, but it was an abandoned house. No one went there. No one wanted to go there or even play around there. So
thanks, guys.
Yeah. So having my family, I have 10 aunts, one uncle, and my grandparents. So,
ooh-wee.
Yeah, so you have a very big family, yet nowhere to live. What are you going to do? You're going to live there because, you know, where else are you going to go? So they ended up just making a residence there and making it a home as best they could. And so things are going, like, really fine. They live in the house. They cook, they clean. They just, it's a typical house of just children. And so my mom, she was just sleeping one night, and she heard someone go up the stairs, and she's like, oh God, mom's probably just gonna be checking to make sure I'm asleep. And so they know that the steps go up to 27 steps. And so right as a 27 step hits, no one comes to the room. And she's like, oh, maybe she was just checking. And then she went back downstairs. So this went on and on for a week. And they're like, who the F is freaking like walking up to the stairs and not coming in the room? And so my mom like opens the door one night and she wants to see who the hell is walking up the stairs. And so as soon as she opens the door, she sees footprints or like feet. And she's just like, oh, holy Jesus. These are not anyone's feet that I recognize at all. So she runs back to the room and she's like freaked out. And she hears her name being called. And it wasn't my grandma. Believe me, she was just like, nope, that's not mom. That's definitely not her. And so she goes under the covers and the door creaks open and then it shuts. And she was like, I'm getting chills talking about it.
Oh, ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
I know.
Ew.
She like she starts crying under the blankets and she's just like, she was freaked out. So she just ended up booking it out of the room, going down to her mom's room, and then just told her the whole story. And so that happened to every single one of my aunts and to my uncle. Every single one of them.
And, God. Like,
and they found out later that this old lady had passed away in the house of old age. And she wasn't found till like a week later.
Oh.
So
that's always fun.
That's always a good time. And they have their names being called all the time. Curtains would just be like opened for no reason. Furniture would be mismatched and put around in different corners of the house. Things would be missing. You would think that the kids are just fucking around with each other, but it wasn't them. Like, they're very honest people. They would never do that to each other unless, you know, like one of them ends up just being really mean. But you know, they're kids. Why?
Yeah, I mean, kids aren't going to be that elaborate either, yeah, you know? And like, you know kids' pranks, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're not going
to
be like
They're not going to be like that. And furniture is very heavy to move. It's not easy to move furniture. So,
I mean, I'm a grown woman and I can barely move furniture. Like, I couldn't imagine a child.
Seriously. So that was my mama's ghost story. And she, till this day, she's like, ain't no one gonna go to that house. And I think it's actually torn down, if I'm not mistaken, because that house, after it was vacant from my family leaving and moving to California, like, no one wanted to touch that house. Like, absolutely.
I mean, can you blame them?
No, absolutely not. And what's funny is, like I said in the beginning, nobody wanted that house. It wasn't even for sale. Like, no one wanted that house at, like, even a little bit. And it was a big house. So, it sounds like The Conjuring.
It is. It's very Conjuring. It's very Conjuring and very Amityville.
Amityville horror, for sure. Oh my God. Okay. Yeah, top that, Brittany.
Oh shit. You know it's funny that like we didn't coordinate stories or anything. Like, we didn't tell each other what our stories were gonna be before we recorded this, and it's funny that we both picked our first story is a stories from our moms.
Yeah, and like, I'm getting goosebumps. I got goosebumps listening to your story. I got goosebumps telling my story. Like, I'm a little chicken shit, but seriously, it's ghost stories are fun to tell, but when they're like from people that you actually know, or if it happened to you personally, it just adds another
when
layer.
When they're real life,
yeah,
it's not as funny.
It's not as funny, and there's a real layer of fear that's like, oh shit. So,
and then it's like, yeah,
it's not great. So,
no.
Brittany, it's your turn to get creepy.
All right. Creepy time. Okay. So this was a personal experience also with my mom. My mom was there, but she didn't witness this one. So by that, I mean, my mom is a historian. She's a local, historian for a couple of different historical societies in the area, and part of that involves going to older cemeteries and helping clean up the headstones, because they get like algae and mildew and lime and stuff all over them. And so like once a year they go to each of the cemeteries and they try to clean them up a little bit and keep them looking nice, and you know, to be respectful to the dead. Mm-hmm. So that that afternoon, I decided to go with my mom on one of these trips. And we went to this big, beautiful, old, abandoned cemetery. And of course, it being the South, it was a segregated cemetery. So, like, in the back was the people of color who passed away. And then in the front was the white people who passed away. But, you know, but it's funny that that was the initial layout, like, where the blacks were in the back and the whites were in the front. But whenever they relaid out the town, it flipped. So the blacks were in the front and the whites were in the back. So that's kind of funny. But anyway, you know, not humorous, but it's just like, oh, haha. Like,
dork.
Yeah, sorry. But anyway, so she and I were cleaning up these headstones, right? And I wasn't getting bored, but I was just like, all right, you know, like, this one headstone was being, like, real frustrating. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to take a break from this one. I'm going to go walk around and, like, look at some of the other stones. So I approached this one stone, and I'm getting heart palpitations just thinking about this story because it is. But, like, so I'm walking around, and this lady is standing in front of this one tombstone, and she, you know, just looks pretty normal. She had, like, short blonde hair, and she was white, and she was just standing there, like, sadly looking at this headstone. And I was near her, but I wasn't gonna, like, talk to her or anything. But then she looks over and she says, "That's my dad." And I just said, "Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss." I said, "I don't know about you, but, you know, I believe in an afterlife and that we'll all see each other again one day somehow." And she looks me dead in the face and says, "I'll never see him again," and vanishes.
Oh, my God.
There. Okay, so sorry to get loud, but it's just like, that was the most realistic apparition I had ever had. Ever. Still one of those experiences where I will have nightmares about it randomly. Like, I will just randomly see that woman in my dreams and she'll be like, "I'll never see him again," and I'm just like, what am I supposed to do about it?
It's like, how can I help you? I can't, you're dead.
Like, I don't know how to help you.
Oh God,
I can't. So that, yeah. But that one was one of those where my mom noticed that I did not look okay. And she thought that I had, you know, gotten heat sick. Down here, they call it bear clawed. I don't know if that's a universal term or not. But down here, they say, "Oh, good Lord, she was working out in the garden, got bear clawed, had to go sit inside."
Oh, but, man. Did you tell her?
I told her that... I said, "It's a ghost thing, Mom." And she was just like, "Oh, okay." Like, she knows that she doesn't like to hear any of that stuff. But she and I both have, like, this not-so-secret of we can both see this stuff. But I'm more open to talking about it, and she's not.
Okay.
So I was just like, "Ghost stuff." And she was just like, "Oh, okay." She's like, "Well, are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm all right. It was real vivid." And she was just like, "Okay, well, as long as you're okay, it work."
All right, so
no,
get over that
from mom.
Get over that ghost, Brittany, and just, like, move on. All right, it's no big deal.
Oh, I know, but I mean, it's not. Yeah, of course. Yeah, just get on from that, like, most realistic apparition you've ever seen.
How old?
Good luck with that.
How old were you?
This was only like 3 years ago.
Oh shit! So this wasn't even like when you were younger.
No, this was a fairly recent one, like, very, very recent one, actually. I was really, really spooked by this one.
Ugh.
As you can probably imagine, I was really spooked.
Oh, God. Yeah, I can't even imagine seeing something that vivid and having them vanish, like, immediately afterwards. Like,
oh, it was like she was vaporized, like, by one of those, like, guns on Star Trek.
Jesus. All right, okay. Okay, ghost story from Julia. Okay.
Beat that, Julia.
This one happened to me when I was 8. This is when I first started seeing spirits. I remember very clearly what this looked like and what happened. Because I told my cousin, I told my mom, I told everyone that would believe me, okay? And so, as an 8-year-old, what do you do in your grandma's house at in the dark? You play hide and seek.
Oh, of course.
It's the best game ever. So me and my cousin, it was just me and her. We were alone in the house and my grandma was like outside or someone was home, but they weren't like really paying attention to what we were doing. So we're just, I was like, hey, let's play hide and seek. And she's like, Julia, this house is very small. I know you're where you're going to hide. I'm like, no, you don't. She's like, fine, we'll play hide and seek. And so she starts hiding and then I start counting. And I knew exactly where she was going to be because, like I said, the house is very small. She's very predictable. And I go to my grandma's room and it's creaked open just a little bit for you to see inside. And I never liked my grandma's room. It was always cold. It was scary. And it just, it had like this bad vibe to it. And so I go to the room and I creak the door open and I see two little girls sitting on the edge of the bed and they were in black and white. And I was like, what the fuck is this shit? So I just, I stand there in the corner and I'm listening and I know exactly what they're saying too. They're like, oh, today I went to go to the, I went to the park with my dad. And she's like, oh yeah, that sounds really cool. What'd you guys do? They had like a whole conversation for like 5 minutes. And I was like, what is happening? And then they both turn and look at me. They're like, what are you doing here? And then I booked it. And I was like,
like, you were the intruder.
I was like, what do I do? And so like, I ran to my cousin's room where my cousin was hiding. She's like, what happened? Why didn't you find me faster? And I told her what happened. She's like, you're lying. You're just making up stories. I'm like, dude, you go in there and see for yourself, okay? Like, I'm not going back to that room. And so she goes to the room. She's like, what are you talking about? There's no one in here. And I see them in the corner. I'm like, you don't see them in the corner? And she's like, what are you talking about? And I just, like, I started crying hysterically. And then she had to take me out of the room. And I was like, y'all are crazy. You don't see the shit that I see. And then it was from that moment that I realized that I can see things and it, I can't unsee things, if that makes sense.
Don't you hate that whenever no one believes you?
Yeah, and it's just like, dude, like, why would I lie about that? That's pretty vivid. Like, even my imagination, it wasn't that good, and I was 8 years old, you know? So,
like, dude, why would I make that up?
Yeah, and so that was my personal ghost story. I mean, I have them occasionally, but they were never that vivid, and they weren't in black and white like they were. And I could see even the dresses they were wearing. It was like a, it was like a, like maybe 1950s kind of look to it. So,
oh,
yeah,
I hate that for you. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it wasn't a good time, but those are my ghost stories, and yours are pretty terrifying too. Shit.
Do we need therapy for this?
I think like, so. You know, I really think so. I think we need therapy for sure. So, oh God. So we talked about Ouija boards. We had our scary ghost stories. I think we both need to wrap it up because I'm getting goosebumps talking about this shit.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have some like major nightmares later.
We're totally gonna have nightmares later, and I'm not looking forward to it, and I'm not keeping my eyes shut while I take a shower either, so.
No, don't do that.
No, no.
Don't ever close your eyes in the shower.
No.
That's just a rule.
That's just a smart rule to have, guys. All right, well, Brittany, yes. Thank you for coming back to us. I really appreciate you being
thank
here
you.
As
so
always.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely, and I would love to have you back.
Okay. Yes, please.
Yes, so we're definitely going to have Brittany back in other episodes, guys. She's from Witch and Kitchen. Please check her out. Her podcast is amazing. And Brittany, do you want to do you want to plug in your Instagram one more time?
My Instagram is at the Witchin Kitchen Podcast. So that's WITCHIN Kitchen Podcast.
Yay. Perfect. I'm serious, guys. Check out her podcast. She's amazing. She's legit. She's becoming a really good friend of mine. I love her. And yeah, so I hope you guys enjoy this episode and get creeped out because we're creeped out.
Yes.
So thanks for listening, everyone. And we'll see you in the next one.
Bye.